Let the church say amen. And God is so good. I hope and trust that you all are in full swing for this Christmas season, that you'll just take time to remember the true meaning of Christmas, what it means that God gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're standing, please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. Am I on back there, Brooks? Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning. This morning we'll do a little bit more substantial reading than we normally do. So just stay with us this morning in the Holy Scriptures, Ephesians chapter number 4. Once you've found Ephesians, we're going to begin reading this morning at verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, where the Bible says these words: I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, which is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, here we are. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we've read an extensive portion of your word this morning in the hearing of all in attendance, dear God, we ask that you might meet with us in a special way. Bless the reading of your word to our hearts, enlightening our understanding to the edification of our souls, dear God, that to some great measure each one of us might be changed. Oh, dear God, that we might remember who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Take complete control. Have thine own way. Open our eyes that we might behold the wondrous things that are in thy word. Lord, empty me of sin. Hide me behind the cross. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might only teach and speak and preach, but only what thus saith the Lord. Take complete control. Thy will be done. I've asked these things in Jesus Christ, and thank you for what the results will be. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 11 this morning. The title, the topic for the text that we've read is Your Place in the Church. your place in the church, Christ's body. Everybody here has a place in this church. Everybody here has a responsibility in this church. Everybody here has a job in this church. There are people here at Grace Baptist Church who have faithfully, generously given this year. We have been able to raise the missions, giving back for the mission support that we have. There are people here who have stepped outside of their comfort zone at Grace Baptist Church and have witnessed to more people than they have witnessed to before here at this church. There are people here who read their Bible more than they've read it before. There are people here who have grown more and more and have taken more steps for the cause of Christ. Some big steps, some baby steps, but steps nonetheless. There are some people here that have made a cognizant will and determination in their hearts to please God, and God is pleased. And these actions of obedience, they have an effect on this church. They have an effect on Grace Baptist Church. I thank God that because of the faithfulness of some of the folks that are here, God has allowed Grace Baptist Church to grow financially. All of our financial obligations are met, sometimes proactively met, and Grace Baptist Church is debt-free. And I say glory to God. That's how church ought to be in America. Many churches, the sad truth of the matter is, most churches in America are not in the black. Maybe that's why some of them also have what they call a Black Friday sale. But I thank God for our financial position in this community. Every person here should be, as the scriptures just mentioned, every person here should be a minister. You say, I'm a woman, should I be a minister? I didn't say the pastor of a church. I didn't say usurping authority over men, but a minister, as the Bible teaches what a minister should be. Everybody should be a minister. Everybody has a part. Everybody has a place to serve. So if we're going to be effective in our part in this church, let me just start off by giving you the first point of your place in this church. Number one, we need to join in the network and join in the work of the ministry. We need to join in the work of the ministry. There's nothing at this church that just happens on its own. When someone has received a call from Grace Baptist Church because they were missing, because they were ill, because they were absent, because they're loved, somebody at the church called them. And it's not always me. There are other people that are making calls. There are other people that are making visits. There are other people that are doing those things, and it should be, and I thank God for their obedience to God for that. You've got a place here at the church. We must use our what God has given us to serve Him. So number one, we need to join in the work of the ministry. Number two, we must use our spiritual gifts that we have from God. And number three, we must remain committed to the family. Those are going to be the three points this morning. Point number one, we need to join in the work of the ministry. Point number two, we must use our spiritual gifts. And point number three, we must remain committed to the family. We used to sing this song years ago, at least churches used to sing it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Remember that song? Folks used to sing that. I don't hear it so much nowadays, but it's true. If you're saved, you're a part of the family of God. It's important that you understand that every member is a minister. Not every member is called to be a pastor. There are jobs here at this church that are to be done, and there are jobs here at this church that are being done, but there ought to be more people involved in getting those things done. We've made a commitment, a proclamation, and a declaration for Grace Baptist Church that if the Lord should tarry His coming in 2017, there will be somebody at this altar at Grace Baptist Church every day of the year. That's the challenge. And with the help of God, there will be somebody at this church, at these altars, every day of the year. That's a place where you can plug in and be a part of that. By the grace of God, we will do it. We will make a commitment and we'll follow through and do it. You say, Pastor, I never heard of a church doing that before. What that got to do with it? It will honor God. Our theme verse For this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. We're going to put our part in 2017 by praying for America, that this country will come back to God. The naysayers, the liberals, and those that are against God, they said, America is not a Christian nation. God built it. God built it. Praying at the altar will be done. Everybody needs to be done and be involved in getting it done. Everybody. I hope to put a book out there in the vestibule when you come in, just sign in that you were here. I hope that throughout the course of the year, your name is in the book. We need more people involved in sharing the load of the things to be done at Grace Baptist Church. There needs to be people getting involved to help lighten the load. It has been said statistically that at churches, even at the better churches, 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. It ought not be. What if only 10% of your internal organs had to do 90% of your body? You'd be hurting. If 10% of your organs were trying to perform 90% of the work of your body, there needs to be some people getting involved to help lighten the load. Some people can call the ill or the absent, but more people could help. There shouldn't be one person or a few people in the church doing all the work. There shouldn't be one person or a few people doing all the giving. I don't know who gives what and how often and how much. I'm not interested. I can find out, but I don't want to know. I want your giving to God to be between you and God. Your service to God be between you and God. But I do get a report every week of the total that's given, and so do you if you look in the church bulletin. I know what percentage of what is given that I give. You say, you're the pastor, you're supposed to be giving. Well, you're a Christian, you're supposed to be giving. We need to all join in this body here. There shouldn't be one person doing all of this. There should not be one person or a few people at the altar praying for the families, praying for the leaders, praying for America. I don't want it to be the Grace Baptist Church falls in that category of 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. I mean, folks will come to church and you see how everything is prepared and everything is set up. The lights are on, the things are clean, everything is in order. Those things didn't just happen by themselves. The finances are being taken care of, the bills are being paid, the grass is being cut, the things that are broken are being repaired. Those things don't just happen by themselves. There's somebody that you don't know about that's getting it done. God is patterning the church so that all of us together can accomplish the work that needs to be done. The work of God will be hindered if we do not all join in the work together. So once again, point number one, we need to join the work of the ministry. Join in. The Bible says right here in verse number 11. Look there in your Bible. God, talking about God, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And where it says he gave, that means that's a gift. This is what he's given to the church. These are gifts to the church. There's a reason for them why he gave them. Look at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why he did it. God wants his body to be a healthy, functioning body. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. Living, breathing. One of the purposes of the pastor is to take God's word and to take God's message and to equip the people to do the work of the ministry. The pastor is supposed to be given to prayer and to the work of the ministry. Is he exempt from cutting the grass? No. Vacuuming? No. Cleaning a toilet? No. He shouldn't think that he's too good or too big or too whatever to do that. There's a service to be done. He sees it. God showed it to him. He needs to do it. I thank God for the things that the people are doing here. I don't know, for some reason, I don't know what it is. I don't know what, maybe the men have a reluctance, but they said, Pastor, don't you touch that lawnmower. I don't know if they think I'm going to run it out there in the street and tear it up or what. I don't know. Okay, Brooks, you don't have to do that in front of everybody. But I let them do it. Somebody came to me the other day. They said, hey, Pastor, I made an executive decision. I'd like to have a key to the church so I can be here and do some things. I said, okay then. When he got him a key. It's not going to hurt my feeling that more people want to join in for the work to be done. So we need to join in the work of the ministry. And God has told us that we have assignments, we have a purpose, we've been gifted by God to the church to do things. And the things that we do them unto God. We do them unto God. The members are supposed to be yoked up with the pastor to serve together. It's not one directional. Well, I'm saying, well, you go do this and you go do that and you go do that. No, no. I need to be involved as well. Church was never designed or intended by God to be a place where people could just come, enjoy the service, and go home. God's intention is for you to come here, worship God here, be taught the word of God here, so you can go out and serve God in your daily living. The pastor's not a hireling. I'm not a hireling. I wasn't hired. At least I didn't take it that way. You don't want me to be a hireling. Believe me. Hirelings, they'll run when trouble comes. A hireling will look for greener pastures where another church opportunity opens up down the street across town that has a better salary, a big staff, a nice facility. Everything is nice. A hireling will go for that like that. You don't want me to be a hireling. God didn't call me to be a hireling. A hireling will quit when things get tough. A hireling will quit being faithful when the members are not faithful. A hireling will show up sometimes and not show up at other times. A hireling will complain about the inconsistencies of members. Some members are here, some members are not, but yet they want the pastor to be here all the time. And he should be. And he should be. I'll just tell you something I learned a long time ago, and I probably got it from my first pastor. He was very jealous of his pulpit. I am very jealous of the pulpit and of the people that are here. I love you. I love you. I promise you that. That's why when I teach and I preach, I'm preaching out of a love for you, but out of a fear of God. Sometimes I preach things that you may not like. He shouldn't have said that. I wasn't thinking about you when I said it. I was thinking about the fact that God told me I need to say it. A hireling won't preach what needs to be preached when it might hurt somebody's feelings. A hireling wants to give us, he wants to satisfy them and cater to them and ignore those other folks that don't give so much. That's what a hireling will do. I've seen it in place. I've seen it in action where people come in and they got nice salaries, got plenty of money, got a nice job, got a nice looking family. And a hireling, he calls himself a pastor, but he's a hireling. He'll cater to those people because he don't want them to leave. He don't want to say anything that he know that they're doing is not right because he don't want to offend them and they're at the door. That's what a hireling will do. He won't call sin, sin. We come to church to worship. I know we call it a morning service, but our service shouldn't just be in church. Our service should be out the doors. We've been entrusted with the gospel, and it's our job to take it to the world out there. God's also entrusted us with encouraging one another and serving one another and bringing others along in spiritual growth and maturity. And let me tell you all something this morning. If you notice this happens at Grace Baptist Church, try to make an intervention when you see a new person who's come to Christ. You see somebody that is carnal. They might be saved, but they're carnal, and they have interactions with that new Christian. Try to get in there and help that new Christian. Okay? You're not trying to play the Holy Spirit. But that can be people that come to church. They're saved, but they're just carnal. They'll have actions and attitudes and terminology and words that are unpleasing to God. They think they're helping that new Christian, but they're hurting them. I just want to give you that public service announcement. That's a recipe for disaster. When people first get saved, they're excited about God, and they have so much hope and aspirations and think that God can use them in a great way until they run into that carnal Christian who hadn't walked with God since Jimmy Carter was president. Nobody's walk has been perfect, but if you've been walking with the Lord, and if you've grown any, you can help somebody. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2, listen, Christians, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You've been coming to this church for any period of time, you've heard enough to be a help to somebody. Don't just take it all in and keep it for yourself. The same thing that you've heard, help somebody else. Help somebody else. the things that you've heard. If only one person was teaching, if only one person was preaching, if only one person was caring or soul winning or faithfully giving, this church would be in trouble. But I know that's not the case. I know that's not the case. And I thank God for that. We got to have the right words. We got to have the right deeds to follow through. And our words are so much more powerful when they've been backed up by our deeds. There's no need of me telling you to get away from alcohol and get away from boozing. And I got alcohol and I'm boozing myself. That didn't have much power. The words are true, but it doesn't have the power like it would be if I'm not participating in it. Helping and playing our part in the body. We need to be a witness. We need to be a witness. Some things that we just need to do to show others the pattern that God has established. What I like to do, and I do it on purpose, I do it intentionally. When the men come down forward to collect the offering and the tithes, I always make sure I reach in my pocket and pull my tithes and offerings out and put it in there to let you know that I'm not exempt from giving. I'm not exempt. The sad thing about it is there's some preachers in the pulpit this morning that won't be tithing. They'll preach the paint off the wall. The folks will be excited about the message, but they will never see that pastor or their pastor reach in his pocket and put an offering in the plate. And they don't see him giving, so they assume he's giving. And some of those assumptions are wrong. Many of them don't give. They don't tithe. They don't give an offering. Pastors of churches don't even support missionaries. But we all should. It's Bible. So some things we just need to do. And I try to do it to pattern to you what God does for me. I mean, he can do for you what he's done for anybody who serves him. And even greater. And even greater. Each one of us got a part to play. You know, I'm out front, but you know what? My part to play is not greater than your part that you got to play. It's not. It is not. It is not. My responsibility to God, I have one, and so do you. I mean, what if the pastor showed up like many people show up at church, here or there, on time or late, sometime? How would the church be? Everybody has a part to play. Even a baby has a part to play and has influence in the church. I noticed this morning when Sawyer was back in the back, he had some of your attention. He had some of your attention. God's power in the church will be demonstrated as we yield ourselves to him and manifest what he's put in us. God has never called anybody ever to come to church and be idle. Never has. Everybody here has a job to do. Everybody's got a part to play. Now, the way that we plug into the church is by using our spiritual gifts. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if I were to ask you to raise your hand, my question is, do you know your spiritual gift? Do you know the gift that has been given to you by God to operate in this church? Do you know your spiritual gift? Do you know what it is? You have one. Now, if you're not operating in the church, you haven't been using it. And maybe you haven't been using it because you don't know what it is. You can begin to demonstrate your spiritual gift by looking at the things that you do best with the least amount of effort. What are the things that you do in your service to God? You do them really good. But for some reason, you say to yourself, you know what? It doesn't take a lot of effort for me to do this thing. It's like I've been designed by God to do this. Maybe your spiritual gift, maybe you said, my spiritual gift is singing. But everybody else in the church don't agree with you on that. Maybe that's not your spiritual gift. Now, we can all make a joyful noise. Every Christian got a spiritual gift. And a spiritual gift is not the same thing as a talent. Okay? Your spiritual gift is not to play basketball. That's a talent. Okay? It's a talent. A spiritual gift is one that allows you to function in the body appropriately for the benefit of the body. God is not looking around for people that have talent. Like some people will say, wow, those folks come to church. And I noticed, wow, that lady came to church, or that man came to church, and he can play the piano pretty good. He can play piano pretty good. We need a piano player. Maybe that's what God is. No, we can't go like that. You can be trained to play a piano and it not be your spiritual gift. Okay? God's not looking around like that. He's not looking for people to have certain talent and then they happen to have a talent that can plug into the church and therefore it is their spiritual gift. It doesn't work like that. God will give you your spiritual gift once you've been saved. Let me give you just a basic example. Before I got saved, I would never want to stand in front of people and make an oral presentation. Never, ever. Quiet. You're like, Pastor, man, you're telling a whopper. No, I'm not kidding. He's as loud as you are. I'm not kidding. I was afraid of public speaking. But I got saved. And God gave me the gift of prophecy. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. He gave it to me. What happens is that God saves a man, puts his Holy Spirit in that man, and then gifts that man in ways that he's never been gifted before. I mean, think about what God has given you since you've been saved. That gift that he gave you. And it's for you to plug into the local church to assist and benefit the body. Your spiritual gift. How do you plug into this local church? Some people, and now we're all called, as according to Luke 18:1, we're all called to be people of prayer. Also, the Bible says, let prayer be offered all the time, morning, noon, and night to pray. But some people have been gifted to pray. Did you not know that? Some people are prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. It didn't bother them to get down on their knees to pray for 2 and 3 hours at a time and pour their heart out to God on behalf of others. The family, the church, the nation, leaders. They're a prayer warrior. Some folks get down on their knees to pray, and 5 minutes later, they sleep. Jesus, at that most critical point in his ministry and service on earth, had those grown men with him in the garden, told them to pray. He comes back, and what are they doing? They sleep. He goes away again. Because first time he comes back, first time he says, well, could you not pray? Can you not watch with me an hour? Goes away again, comes back. They sleep again. Sleep on. Take your rest. For the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. We need some prayer warriors at Grace Baptist Church. And I believe we got some. I believe we got some. We need some folks that can be at these altars and praying unto God. Some people have the gift to greet. Some people got the gift to decorate. Some people got the gift to make phone calls. Some people got the gift to communicate with others through cards or in person with a handshake, with encouragement. Some people can teach in Sunday school or be a teacher's assistant or lead in areas that I haven't even mentioned. Some people have the gift of organizing. Some people could be in charge of leading an auxiliary ministry of the church. Something that would aid people unto Christ. It could be a clothes pantry, a food. I don't know what your gift is, but God, if you're saved, God's giving you one. You need to plug in and use it. So, let me give you 3 ABCs to write down to make note of. A. Discover your spiritual gift. A, discover your spiritual gift if you don't know what it is. You're still kind of wondering, but you're not sure. You're uncertain. Discover your spiritual gift. B, once you've discovered it, B, develop your spiritual gift. Develop your spiritual gift. And then letter C, deploy your spiritual gift. You're going to discover your spiritual gift. You're going to develop your spiritual gift. You're going to deploy your spiritual gift. And deploy means you're going to use it. You're going to put it into action. You're going to put it into service. The more you use it, the better you're going to become in using it. People say, practice makes perfect. I got a different way to say that. Practice makes permanent. I want you to hold your places where you are in the Bible and turn to the book of Romans chapter number 12. Hold your places in the Bible there, but turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12. As you're turning, I'm going to begin reading at Romans chapter number 12, verse number 4. By inspiration of the Word of God, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." We got different gifts. Another place in the scripture, the example is given where body parts are being used. Where if I'm the eye, or you're the hand, is the hand less than the eye? No. If I'm the foot, or you're an ear, is the foot less than the ear? No, they're all vital to the body. To this day, yet mankind has not figured out yet the purpose of what we call the appendix. They think that it's an unnecessary part. That's why it's called an appendix. The word appendix means an add-on. They have a purpose. They have a function. We've just yet to determine what it is. Every part of the body matters to the body. To its function. Well, Pastor, I can't sing like anything. What, don't worry about how they sing. What is how God would have you to sing? What is the place where God would have you to plug in and serve? Get busy in that and fulfill your purpose for which God made you. Maybe you're not going to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you'll be a Sunday school assistant. Maybe you could be a nursery worker. You say, well, we don't have any kids to be in the nursery. Well, get busy as a servant in the nursery and see if God will fill it up. God will provide when we make place for provision. I found that to be the case. When you make place for provision, God will provide. I remember the story of the young man telling the story how that he was in his 20s and he was telling his mom, "Mom, I'm just believing that God will help me and give me a nice car." And his mom says, "Oh, yeah, sure, baby. Yeah, I understand. But what about that junk car you got in the garage?" Time would pass. He said, "Mom, I'm just going to trust God. He's going to give me a nice running new car, new car." She said, "Okay, yeah, baby, but what about the car you got in the garage? He never figured out what his mom was trying to teach him. Mom was trying to teach him. She was trying to get him to figure out the truth of the message she was trying to teach him. He said, "Mom, I thank God, I'm trusting God, he's going to give me another car, a nice car to ride around." She said, "Yeah, baby, but what about the car you got in the garage? He said, "Mom, why is it time when I said, "Mom, I'm trusting God, he's going to bless me to get a new car." You always say, "What about the car you got in the garage on the block?" He's not going to figure it out. God's not going to feel something. He's already feeling something. So he finally decided to get rid of that old junk car. Get out of the garage. Mop the floor. And trust the God. And for a moment, God got another car. It wasn't a brand new car. It was a nice new car. And it told him that when we make provisions and make a place for God to live, God will come out with the expectation that we have done everything that we need to do. And now it's up to God to do his part. Quit asking God to help you in some areas where you have a spirit of faith in him. You're not going to do it. He won't do it. He won't do it. Like I say, he won't feel something already full of something.
God, I just want you to just help me to be nice to people. God, I want you to help me to be kind to people. God says, okay, I'm willing to do that. But get rid of that foolishness first. Get rid of that. I'll help you. So discover your spiritual gift. Develop your spiritual gift. Deploy your spiritual gift. We all got different positions and functions in the body of the Lord. Now, the gifts that you will receive from God are to be used in the local church. What gifts are you using in the church? Now, he talked about a number of different things in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. We're just going to touch on them. I want to encourage you to read these this afternoon yourself, Romans chapter 12. I want to talk about, he talked about a prophecy. Prophecy has to do both with foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling and forthtelling. Well, we won't have any more foretelling today because we have the completed scriptures. So I'm not a prophet in that sense, but I'm a prophet in the sense of foretelling because the Bible tells me to go forth and tell what he said. Foretelling. Foretelling has to do with teaching, preaching about something that God has yet to happen. Foretelling has something to do with God has said that will happen. For example, we learned in Sunday school this morning, simply a foretelling that you will reap what you sow. God has said it, and it's an affirmation and a duplication of what God has already said. You will reap what you sow. Foretelling. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a foretelling of what's going to happen. The specifics of how it will happen, sometimes we don't know. But we know that it will happen. That's foretelling. Ministry has to do with a gift of helps. Whatever that talent, whatever that gift that is that God gives you, it is to help in the local church. It is to help the body of Christ. It is to help to forward the cause of Christ. Your part in the church. And it's a desire to serve people and to help people in a variety of ways. It's more to do than to teach and to preach at church. If all the people that are working in the background at Grace Baptist Church, if they were not doing what they were doing, I probably could not be doing right now what I am doing. If there wasn't someone in the background making sure that the light bill was paid, it'd be dark in here. If there was not somebody in the background making sure that the facilities were clean, nobody would want to go in there. Somebody would say, excuse me, Pastor, I got to go relieve myself. And they go right past the restroom and go outside in the woods. See, there are people that are doing things that you don't see or necessarily know about that facilitate my being here. And for that, I say thank you. I say thank you. What is your part in the church? Listen to these verses in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, those are the saved, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Your service to God is shown by your service to others. Not just others from whom you might expect a benefit, but from others to whom you may never expect a benefit because you're serving God. You're serving God. That's what he says. You've done it to the least. Now listen to this now. I notice there's a word here in verse number 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Does your service to God here at Grace Baptist Church, are you serving the brethren? Are you serving the brethren? It's a gift given to you by God. And you need to know that the gift that's given to you by God is not inferior to somebody else's gift. You know how I know that it's not inferior? Because it was given to you by God. God didn't give junk. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." I want you to go out and look. Now, you men, you leaders, you teachers, you preachers, you prophets, there's a problem here. Something is lacking. Verse 2 says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. And they said, "It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We need some help." Okay, how will we resolve it? Okay, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report. Number 1, honest report. Talking about a description of a servant in a church, man. Number 2, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I need to be given continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Yes, I would function to think other in the church than teach and to preach. But those are primary. Prayer and the ministry of the word. So I need help. So we got to find some people to go and do those things that nothing will be lacking in the church. But I like the qualifications here. These men are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. In layman's terminology, what that means is this right here. They're not the kind of people that are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. They know how to, as the Bible says, they're wise. They know how to deal with things that are spiritual. They know how to properly deal with things that are carnal. Okay? They know what the scripture means and what it says, but they also know what it means to get business taken care of at the church house. And we need that. We need that. As you all noticed when you came in this morning, the parking lot is being repaved. That part falls not in the category of someone doing it because they were Holy Ghost filled, though they are, but they have wisdom. Dealing with the spiritual and the practical. Are you plugged into the church? We need to be plugged in. And I need to be plugged in. There's teaching. We won't get a chance to get into that. He talks about exhortation. And we need people in the church that will encourage others. Encourage other people. Encourage other people. You see some young Christians, some middle-aged Christians, some older Christians trying to do something outside of their comfort zone to the glory of God. Encourage them or don't say anything to them at all. Don't say to a Christian, "Well, you know what, I'm not sure you can do that." Don't ever say that to anybody. They may not know Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." They may not know that Bible verse. And they might look to you because you've been saved longer than they've been saved. And they may say to themselves, "Well, since he or she told me I can do it, maybe I can't do it." But previously, God told you to do it. How are you plugging in the church? How's your giving in the church? How's your serving in the church? There's a job for you. There's a vacancy that may be going unfilled because you haven't plugged in to this church. He said, "But I don't see a position. I don't see an office. I don't see an opportunity." First of all, get yourself prepared to do it, and God will show you where to go. God will show you what to do. Everybody here has a place to plug in to Grace Baptist Church. Everybody here has a place to plug in. Some folks got the gift of giving. I think I mentioned either last Sunday or the Sunday before last, how that this millionaire woman, she died and left all her money to a cat. There are Christians in this world that God has blessed financially and financial abilities, and when they die, they leave all their finances to hell-bound children, hell-bound relatives. That which God has given them to steward, their last effort, they give it to people who are going to use it for the world. I'll let you meditate on that one. The Bible says the word Selah. How are you plugging into the church? This church here operates by your giving faithfully, tithes and offerings. We don't sell anything. We don't have anything to sell, but we got a whole lot to tell. And we need to get busy with telling. When we do what we ought to do, God does not allow this church to miss a beat. As long as the Lord allows me to be in this world as the pastor of this church, ain't is not a good word, but I'll use the word ain't. We ain't never going in debt again. We ain't never. I don't care if I have to go out that door and I personally have to get 2-3 jobs. We ain't never going in debt again. Where God guides, God provides. Got with the men and the men said, you know, Pastor, that parking lot, that effort that you had, it just didn't work. I said, thank you, man. I appreciate that. It just didn't work. It put the ugh in ugly. Let's have it redone. Let's have it repaved. Let's have it done right. But we're talking about $21,000. Where God guides, God provides. Do you see how that works? It's simple. You see how it works? What we need to get done, God gives us the provisions to get it done. That's how church is supposed to be. We're not supposed to go out of those doors and sit across a table, across a desk from a hell-bound sinner at First National Bank and ask him to give us some money to do what God has told us to do. That's not how it's supposed to work, folks. But in America, in too many churches, that's how it is working. That's how it is working. Sad but true. I told you 86% of churches in America, I don't care what their size is, they can be 10 times bigger than us. Their membership is 10 times greater than our membership. But 86% of them are in debt, are in the red. And that ain't right. That ain't right. And then finally, when they finally get enough money, at one particular day, they have what they call a burn the mortgage day. There should never have been an earn the mortgage day. I'll let you think about that. There's so many things that we've allowed from the world to creep into the church. And then we look for God to bail us out. When it's clearly in His Bible, it's clearly in His Word. The church should owe no man but to love Him. We try to look for cracks and crevices and loopholes that we can do what we want to do. Let's all plug into the church. Let's do what God would have us to do. It talks in these verses about administration. Administration is the ability to organize, to think strategically, and to implement a plan or coordinate teams of people to get things done for God. See, some people got that gift of administration. Some of them do. And then there's mercy. And this is a God-given ability to feel the pain of others, to help them along the way. Compassion. Some Christians got to develop that thing, but some people have a gift for it. Some Christians are, as soon as Joe Smith falls into sin, we want to crucify Joe Smith. We forget that the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also find yourself in that same situation. We're not compromising standards, but we are remembering that were it not but for the grace of God, we'd be like that. So find out your spiritual gift. There's some needs can be met by your knowing what your gift is and plugging into the church. Like I said, if I were to ask you, what is your role that you're supposed to be playing at Grace Baptist Church? What is that gift that God has given you that you're supposed to be using right now at Grace Baptist Church? Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Your answer should be, I'm a member at Grace Baptist Church and I do this and I do this and I do this. And you know what? Church attendance does not count. It is already assumed that you're going to come to church. There should be people who are determined to use their spiritual gift and serve God. So, how do we plug into the church? We got to be involved in the ministry. We got to use our spiritual gifts. And we got to remain committed to the family. committed to the family. I think all of you can relate to this right here. The closer you are to people in your life, the more they are like family. Sooner or later, some differences are going to rise up. Some differences are going to rise. Well, I thought it should be done this way. Well, I thought it should be done this way. Work out those differences. Some folks are so keen on winning the argument instead of being keen on winning the relationship. You and your spouse, y'all have a difference of opinion, and you say, no matter what, I'm going to win this argument. I'm going to have the last word. You might win that. You might win the argument, but you lose the relationship. You're lost. You're lost. We need to demonstrate that we're committed to this family, this church family, by remembering one another regularly. There's some folks that are not here this morning that should be here, that could be here, that ought to be here. But they're not here. You need to remember them. Listen to this right from Hebrews chapter 10 as we try to close out this morning. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, and let us consider one another, why? To provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, we use this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day approaching? The day of the Lord's return. Many times we'll quote verse 25 and we don't understand the context, which comes from verse number 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Encourage people to come to the house of God, but do it in love. Do it out of good works. What good is it for me inviting you to church, inviting you to be in church every Sunday, and I'm missing? Love and good works. There's an exhorting and there's an encouragement that needs to take place. We need to be committing ourselves to plug in the church. We need to understand the importance of praying with one another. Pray with one another. If this church were to have what we call an all-night prayer meeting, would you be at church for that? Can't make it. Can't make it. And we'll come up with a reason why we can't make it. If a church has an all-day food fest, people will show up. But if we have an all-day prayer fest, it'd be vacant. We need to get plugged in to the house of God. Where do you plug in to this church? God has called you. He's gifted you to be in this church, to function in this body for the cause of Christ. Discover your spiritual gift. Develop your spiritual gift. Deploy your spiritual gift. The Bible says as we close out in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Whatever you're asking him, whatever you can think, he can bless you above and beyond that. But then he follows up by saying, according to the power that works in you. What kind of power is working in you? The power of faith or the power of doubt? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So you know what? That transformed, when I began to get a better understanding of that verse there, it transformed the way I prayed. Because now I ask God for things that are just, you might call them ridiculous, the kind of things that I ask God for now. Because I know he can bless me beyond that. You know, the world used to say, you know, shoot for the star. If you don't make it, you'll be further than you were. You'll at least be at the moon. He's able to bless Grace Baptist Church. He's able to bless your family. He's able to bless this community. He's able to work abundantly, exceeding above all that you ask or think. Put your gift into order, into work, into practice, and see what God does. Your place in the church, the body of Christ. Let us all stand for prayer.